The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
My name is Rick, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 341 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from the WDW Today podcast, and not with me on the show today is my colleague Michelle Scribner-McLean. She is, as I speak, she is somewhere between New York City and New Hampshire on her way back, and she could not make it tonight, so I am able to take care of everything myself. But because she's not here, I would like to do her shout-out, and my shout-out is to Michelle, because for the last 3 years we've been doing this podcast, and she has been doing most of the work. The podcast would not be so as successful as it is if not for all her hard work, and she's very much involved in getting guests on the show. She's very technically oriented, so she was able to do a lot of things that just made everything so much easier. So I want to thank her for all her work, and this shout out is to you, Michelle, wherever you are. Now, earlier this week, you hopefully have heard Michelle talk with Run Disney race announcer Carissa Bielert. They had a little session, and Michelle asked Carissa some of the questions that you've sent in. And now it's my turn to ask questions to another Run Disney race announcer. You know him as the voice of America's Marathon. He hails from Carlsbad, California, and I'm talking about your friend and mine, Rudy Novotny. Rudy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Great to be on again. Love chatting with you and just going over stuff and having fun with all your listeners.
Now, Rudy, I want to wish you a Happy New Year, because even though we're recording this several days before Christmas, it actually is airing today, which is January 31st. So Happy New Year, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Sounds great.
All right. So
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And let's hope that the New Year is best for everyone, and including you, including me. And let's wish for a very, very prosperous New Year. And as we walk into the New Year, we're going to chat on the questions that our listeners have sent in. Michelle has asked Carissa for her responses, and I have a whole bunch that I'm going to ask you. So are you ready?
I'm ready, Mike. Lay it on me.
All right. So, and I think you're going to enjoy some of these questions.
I'm sure I will.
The first one comes from Brian Marks, and Brian wants to know if there has ever been a costume that you had to put on at a Run Disney event that made you do a double take or caused you to kind of lose it for a bit.
Brian Marks, you know, you can always depend on Brian for something that's just a little bit out there. Thank you, Brian. Actually, that's a great question, and I have a very specific answer that took no thought at all. I'm embarrassed to say I can't remember what year it was, because, Mike, I can't remember much at all anyway. But it was Disneyland Half Marathon Weekend for the 5K. And it was because I love my friends at Disneyland. They take great liberties in their costuming of me. And they put me in a chicken outfit. And I was the chicken from Al's Toy Story.
Wow.
And yeah, that was, I think the year before I was the mayor of Main Street. I had been a Pirate of the Caribbean. I think I was, you know, moving along pretty good. I was pretty upscale.
Wow.
So what did I do wrong, Mike? What did I do? I was the chicken.
I think I was at that one, and
I think you might have been.
And I was trying to figure out what, you know, it never dawned on me it was from Toy Story. Wow.
Yeah, it was from Al's Toy Store. It was the chicken, and we had a lot of fun with that one. It took a couple years of therapy, and then finally finding out. Truly, this is a true story, finding out from, because it kind of became a legendary story internally at Disneyland, and finally found out from my friends in the costuming area that one has been disposed of.
Did that have you swear off chicken, did it?
No, you know, but I think I am eating more beef, though, Mike. That's a good point.
Oh, my God, that was a good one. John Beale has the next question, and he wants to know, if you could choose one race to not announce but actually run, which would it be?
Oh, man. Now, we are talking Run Disney here, correct?
Let's
okay.
Yes.
All right. Boy. See, here's the thing, Mike. Is that maybe perhaps little known to your listeners and the Mickey Milers and so many of my friends that do run the Disney events is I don't know jack about the courses. I don't know. I know very little about, you know, what's out there and what's offered for each event specific to the course. But I think I'd have to say if I was going to pick one, it would be the Disneyland Half Marathon on Labor Day weekend. It was my first Disney event, and I've got a connection to that one, perhaps unlike any of the others on either coast. So yeah, I'd have to go with that.
I think that when I was reading this question, I was wondering. I said, how much do you really know? I mean, I know Carissa has run; she's run a few of them, and Tara has. But you know, you're locked to the.
Yeah, no, I'm. Yeah, no, you know, and I get a kick out of every once in a while someone will come up and they'll ask a course question.
Yeah, I do remember when you came out here to do the Heartbreak Hill half marathon.
Uh-huh.
I think we talked and you said you did get a chance to run a little bit of that course. So you knew what that course was all about, but you really don't have a chance to do any of the Run Disney ones because you're prepping, you're getting ready to announce, you have to go through scripts and everything. So you don't even have the time to do it.
Very true. You know, before this call, I thought about this question and I thought back on my previous actual racing history as compared with my current my current announcing menu or calendar. And the only one that I know anything about that I'm announcing is Big Sur. That's it. I've run that one 12 times. You have any questions on that? I can answer them. Other than that, I'm sorry, I'm not your guy.
Yeah. That sounds like the answer I expected. If I was to recommend a race for you to run, I would first ask you, do you want to run through all the parks or do you want to run the best themed? And if you said best themed, I would say, hopefully it'll come back, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror 10 miler. If you were going to run all four parks, I would say obviously the January Marathon. But so maybe someday, hopefully you get a chance.
Well, see, I'm glad to have an authority I can go to.
Yeah. The next question comes from Jackie Cabrera. And she wants to know what your schedule is like when you're announcing for the Run Disney Challenge race events. I'm not sure what she means. Basically, Rudy, I think she wants to know when you have multiple races, like for the 2 or 3 days that you're announcing, what is your schedule like? For instance, what time do you get up? What time do you have to be wherever you have to be? And how long do you have to be there?
Right. Well, generally, on either coast, I'm coming in at least the day before and just trying to get settled. You know, and there are differences on both coasts as far as what the requirements are. But generally, first day is up bright and early, somewhere about 5 a.m., which actually is sleeping in Disney standards. Yeah. and we do some rehearsal, and generally rehearse through a good part of the day, and that's day one. And then from there, once we start the races, once we start racing, my wake up time is it varies on, again, on both coasts, but I'd say my average wake up time is about 2 a.m. So
sounds like the runners.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel your pain, you know. People talk about getting up early. I get that. So yeah, we're up about 2 or so, over to the trailers, a cup of coffee, going over scripts and staging and what, you know, the expectations are, a little bit of sound check, and then on to the race. And then after the morning's race, this is changing over the years, but you know, generally it's over to the expo, a few hours over the expo, get back to the hotel, get a little rest, and get a little dinner and get to bed as early as possible, because the next day is a 1:30, 2 a.m. wake up. Groundhog Day. You've seen the movie.
Yeah. And you know, Rudy, I'm guessing that just like the runners, the most difficult part of doing something like the Dopey is getting up 4 days in a row at the same time real early and trying to figure out, and I'm sure you do this too, because you have to use your voice 4 days in a row. You need to figure out what is the threshold for us? What is the threshold for how long we should be on our feet? And your threshold, my guess, is that you need to be aware of your voice and your throat and everything and take care of that.
Well said, Mike. Very true. You know, we always want to be high energy and fun and friendly and, you know, talk to people throughout the day and you know, chat with friends and fans and everything. But yeah, you have to kind of meet it out, you know. I am very, very fortunate, sincerely, to be working with people like Carissa, John, and of course Creed Kelly in Marathon Week, because Marathon Week is 100% absolutely the toughest. You know, that's essentially it's announcing a marathon. It's a marathon announcing event every day. Certainly, you're not announcing a marathon, but each day is like its own little marathon. And as you already know, it's cough drops, coffee, and just, you know, trying to put one foot in front of the other. One of the issues for me is that, and I think John and Carissa would probably share this to some degree. Maybe not Carissa as much, because I think she actually sleeps. But I don't sleep well on race weekends. You know, I struggle to get a decent sleep. And this has been the same thing for 20 years. Doesn't work real well.
No.
Yeah. So it's hard.
It's funny. The next question sort of like really works into this last question. It's from Carol Cantwell, and she wants to know what your nutrition plan is on race day, and she wants to know how you keep that great positive energy going all day for several days.
Nutritional plan. Another fine question. That's a really weak point for me. The nutritional end of my training and day to day is not the best. It's definitely improved over the years. Nutrition. The most important part of my nutrition during those weekends is coffee. Sorry, that's where it starts. I have to have my coffee. And then Disney takes pretty good care of us, and you know, there generally is a nice breakfast laid out in a couple of the mornings, and we have an opportunity to, you know, there's eggs and bagels, some fruit, bananas. Nobody's as good on the nutrition end of thing as Carissa. She just, you know, always find her with her bagel and her banana, a little peanut butter. She's really good. I'm more of a kind of whatever's around kind of guy. That's just the truth of it, you know? I'd love to give you this really ornate plan, nutritional plan that I have, but it just isn't there.
Hey, whatever works.
Yeah.
Whatever works.
Exactly.
This next question kind of brings us back to the Wine and Dine race weekend. It's from Phil Cordero, and he wants to know if you could share Any of the behind the scenes goings on that happened during that during the wine and dine quarter marathon?
Well, sure. You know, as much as I, you know, have that they're not already aware of, I had several conversations with John Hughes, our race director, who essentially was really monitoring the storm that was coming down on us. And there was a very, let me tell you, he shared on an iPad, he shared the Doppler radar, and they were just watching this thing, and it was significant. The red zone in that storm was headed directly for us, and John kept dropping by my announcer area, showing us the progress of that storm and just letting us know that there was a possibility that we might have to evacuate the area, maybe temporary. And, you know, there, of course, was the possibility that the race would have to be canceled because of lightning strikes. And, you know, again, it was all about safety. I think everybody now is totally aware of that. And then finally, you know, John came up to me and said, okay, now. And I want to tell you, from my perspective, because, you know, we're elevated, we can see everything better than anybody else. From my perspective, when I went on stage and made the announcement that we need to evacuate, I have rarely seen such an incredibly organized and orderly group of people move en masse so quickly. No grumbling, they just did it. You know, everybody just moved out to that safe zone over by the stadium and HP, and I was really, really impressed. You know, the rest is history. We know, you know, it went to essentially a quarter marathon. Everybody, you know, everybody made the best of it. I know that there were some people that were very disappointed, particularly the first time half marathoners. But again, you know, not to beat the drum again, all about safety, it's always going to be number one.
Yeah, I think that's, and, you know, I have to give John credit for, you know, made the best of a really difficult situation. And everybody had a good time. At one point, I was with everybody in the milk house, and we were saying, you know, now I'm not in the mood for a half. So I think a lot of us were really happy when it turned into a 10K plus, so.
Yeah, it was, I want to tell you again, just watching the ability to, I guess I got about five or six looks at it on the Doppler radar and the iPad. It was scary to see the power and the red zone this thing had in as it moved. And, oh, and one other item was, there was another one behind it that was also headed in our direction. It was moving much slower than the first one. But there was another one right there.
Wow.
So, I mean, I'm not used to these things. I guess Orlando, you know, these things happen. But in San Diego, those things don't happen. We don't get rain.
One of the, just one more point about this was, there was a discussion among a number of the people who I was hanging out with at the party, after finish party in World Showcase, we were saying, what would have happened had this been January? There was no milk house to go to, and there were a lot more people. So let's hope that that never happens, because I really don't know where all the runners would go.
Right, right. Well, there's a there is always a diversion plan. All well-done races have a diversion plan where in the event of a need to move a mass of people, there are diversion routes and a diversion plan. I'm not privy to, you know, anything for January, but yeah, let's just hope that we get some really fine weather and, you know, coming up this this next marathon weekend, or I should say week, just have a great weather and great fun.
I agree. The next two are not questions, but they are just messages, so sit back and relax, and I'll read
okay.
First one comes from Carly O'Brien, who makes the greatest cookies. Every time we go down there to do a race and we happen to run into Carly, she's always making special cookies. So someday she'll bring you some cookies. But Carly says, it's not a question, but I sure hope they don't get tired of being accosted by the Mickey Milers at the expos. They're always so nice and generous with their time. And she says, thanks, guys. So that's from Carly. The next comment comes from Brittany Bear Brown. And she says, I would just love to tell them that I love them and thank them for getting us pumped and ready for every race. So those are two, they're not questions, but they were definitely heartfelt messages to, you know, basically tell you what hopefully you, Carissa and John, know that we love what you do. And we know that no matter how tired we are, as soon as we get in those corrals, you're gonna pull us through as we wait to go through the start. So.
Well, that is very sweet. I'll tell you what, to be honest with you, it's those kind of comments and those kind of contacts that mean the most to me and keep me going. Without, you know, that kind of feedback and just, you know, people to enjoy the experience with. Without you guys, we have nothing. You know, that's really that simple. So thank you, Carly, and chocolate chip and anything else. It's just fine. Thank you very much.
Just amazing cookies. the next question comes from Mike Rahman, who is the host of the Be Our Guest podcast. And Mike says, has there ever been a moment that really choked them up to the point that it was hard to keep announcing? He says, I know they see amazing things each race, but is there something in particular that still has a place in their hearts?
Oh, you know, Mike, I can say confidently there have been many times where I've had to work through. I'm an emotional guy, okay? I can tell you right now that out of the 30-some marathons that I've run, I've gotten choked up at the finish line pretty much every time. I take those things very, very emotionally. So I'm an emotional guy. There have been a whole bunch of times that I had to either fight back tears or they just came, you know, the tears were there and you just got to keep doing your job. There was a Komen event, of course, for breast cancer, where they did a huge dove release. And I think it was just a culmination of some of the dedications that went on and looking out in the sea of pink and the doves and all that just, you know, got to me. There have been many, even sometimes the last athlete, you know, that it's such a neat celebration, no matter where, what it is. And that celebrating the last athlete to come in and just imagining, even if you don't know what their struggle's been or how far they've gotten to get there, it kind of tugs at your heartstrings. So, sorry, I don't have anything more specific, but believe me, it happens a lot.
Yeah, I think that watching people who have struggled to get where they have gotten, it's just something that you just can't put into words, and especially those who are doing their very first 5K, because it's a long journey for them, and it's the first big step, hopefully, to you know, just doing something that they thought they'd never do, and it's sometimes I feel sorry for those who aren't into the running because they'll never experience that. So
that's true.
Pretty cool. This concludes part one of our discussion with Rudy Novotny, Run Disney race announcer and the voice of America's Marathon. Rudy has been answering your listener questions, and he will continue in part two to answer the rest of your questions. So on behalf of Rudy Novotny and Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. If you would like to support the Mickey Miles Podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. And don't forget, if you have any questions, You can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.